Blessed to be a blessing. Good morning. My name's Richard. I'm speaking to you from Leeds, where Kate, my wife, and I moved 5 years ago to start a new church, Community Church Leeds. I don't know how you have found the last few months. So many changes, so many difficulties, so much grief and hardship and mourning, so many uncertainties about the future and what that might look like and what this new normal is really going to be. But in the midst of all these difficulties, we've also found people who are more open than perhaps before to investigate the spiritual side of life, people who are realizing they're seeking for something more, that so many of the foundations that they thought were secure, that they depended on, have fallen away, and instead they're looking and saying, well, what is life really all about? With a number of these people, we've been able to run the Alpha course on Zoom, and it's been great and seeing people finding that relationship with Jesus Christ for themselves. I'd like us to think this morning about how we are blessed as Christians, have so much in terms of that solid rock of a foundation of our relationship with Jesus Christ, and how that blessing can then be a blessing to others. That for me is, after all, part of what being a Christian is about. It isn't just for us. The incredibly good news we found isn't just for us. It's to be shared with other people as well. I'd like to start by telling you a story. My story begins here. This is Bramley St. Peter's Primary School in Leeds. I became a governor there a few years ago, and as a governor, I met the other governors, including the chair of governors, this lady. Her name's Julie. She's a retired HR manager and librarian manager for the city council, and we got on well and we became friends. Now, I knew that Julie was a widow. I knew that her husband had died very young. I think he was 29 years old. And I knew that her father had sadly passed away and that she was nursing her mum. I then found out the sad news that Julie's mum had also passed away. And a few weeks later, Julie and I were meeting to talk about pupil recruitment for the school. We met here at the Costa Coffee in Bramley, and at the end I gave her a little card with Psalm 23 written on it. I'd been walking my dog an hour or so before our meeting, and I'd had this nudge from the Holy Spirit that I should take Psalm 23. So I'd put this card in my pocket, and at the end of our meeting gave the card and said how sorry I was that her mum had passed away, and Julie thanked me, and that was the end of the meeting. A couple of weeks later, Julie found a diary that her mum had written for her as her only daughter. In this diary, her mum was talking about how much Julie meant to her. And the last entry in this diary, written in her mum's own handwriting, was Psalm 23. Julie phoned me and told me about it, and we talked about how God was drawing close. We met again a few weeks later at the same Costa Coffee to talk about pupil recruitment again, but we never really talked about that. Instead, we talked about God, we talked about Jesus, we talked about how he was drawing close, how he was knocking at the door of her heart. We walked back to the school and talked some more, and in the conference room at the school, Julie decided that she wanted to come back to God. She'd been a churchgoer in her younger life, but when her husband had passed away so early, so suddenly, she turned her back on God and run away. But she wanted to come back, come home to him. And I had the joy of praying with her that afternoon in the school and seeing her come right back into a friendship with Jesus Christ. Lockdown has been a wonderful experience for Kate and I with Julie. Our friendship has grown, and we've seen her grow as well in her faith and in her relationship with Jesus Christ. She talks about how she now goes for walks with her notepad and sits on a bench and prays and senses God speaking to her through the scriptures and beginning to heal some of those long-lasting pains in her life. She's been blessed, and we're so grateful to God that we've had the privilege of being a small part of that blessing for Julie as she's come back to find that relationship with Jesus Christ. Blessed to be a blessing. Here in Leeds, we've been looking at the life of Peter in the New Testament during this time of lockdown. We've been doing it every Sunday morning with our Zoom church, and we chose the life of Peter because we had a sense that as well as wanting to care for people and care for those around us and show God's love and kindness to people around us, we also needed to be ready. Ready for the next phase, ready for the next stage that God wanted us to move into as we move out of lockdown and go into this new normal. We sensed that he was going to need some breakthroughs. And as we looked at the life of Peter, we saw one breakthrough after another, and we felt we could learn some things from that. Peter was a fisherman. It's one of the reasons why I like him. That's my hobby, going fishing. But his life is completely changed by Jesus and goes on being changed by him, goes on from one breakthrough to another, one kind of like revelation of who Jesus is to another, to another, to another. Jesus tells him, "You're no longer going to be fishing for fish. Now it's time to catch people. Now it's time, if you like, to be a blessing to others, to see other people's lives transformed, changed forever by them encountering and beginning a relationship with Jesus." And so Peter's life begins to change. There are ups, incredible, wonderful highs, the transfiguration, that moment when he declares who Jesus is, and Jesus tells him, "Well done, you didn't hear this, you didn't make this up yourself, you heard this from heaven." But then also times of tragedy and deep, deep lows. None more so than the night before Jesus died when Peter denied that he knew Jesus three times. But that failure does not define Peter's life. Peter is reinstated by Jesus. He goes again. And he sees one breakthrough after another, as he lives in the wonder of this blessing that he has found of knowing Jesus, of this life that flows from heaven because of his relationship with Jesus, and then that life flowing out of him to other people as he sees their lives transformed. I'd like to read a story together from Acts chapter 3. This is about Peter. This is after Jesus died, risen again, and gone back to heaven. And this is what happens. Let's read it together. Peter and John went into the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was a lame beggar that they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. A wonderful story. A guy's life completely transformed. Can you imagine what it must have been like for him? Here is this man who, we're told, had been lame, unable to walk from birth. His life every day was being carried into that to the temple courts to beg. And then Jesus, through Peter, breaks into his life, and his life is completely changed forever. Some of you may know that the result of this is, as the crowd gather, Peter speaks to them, explains what has happened, explains who Jesus is, and the loads more of them become Christians, and the church grows dramatically that day. It's an act of extraordinary power and extraordinary kindness. This man is blessed beyond his wildest dreams. Peter has been blessed and is a blessing in the most amazing way to this guy. One of the things I think we need to remember all the time is that God is at work. God was at work in that moment. He planned, he intended for that guy that day to be healed. God's at work all around us. He's at work in the lives of people. He draws close. I told you Julie's story, and there were moments in that story like that Psalm 23 moment when God was clearly drawing close. And Julie would say now that God is still at work in her life. He's still drawing close. Even yesterday, she sent me an email to tell me that she'd been praying first thing in the morning and felt a little nudge from the Holy Spirit to go into the school where we're both governors. And when she went in, she was able to be a blessing to lots of the staff who were facing a particularly difficult situation. She's blessed, and she's now being a blessing. God's at work all around us. He's at work in the lives of people. We need to remember that. We need to not only remember it, but expect it. Expect that God's going to be at work. Look for those opportunities to be a blessing, to show kindness, because we don't know where they're going to go. Maybe they just end there and they were good enough in themselves to show that kindness to someone. But sometimes they go on and have bigger repercussions and bigger effect than we can imagine. That was certainly true with Julie. I had no idea when I had that nudge about Psalm 23 where it would lead. I guess Peter, when he sees this beggar healed, had no idea really the opportunity he would then get to preach about Jesus and see so many more people come into a relationship with him. Here's three things that I think are worth remembering when we think about how we can be a blessing. We've been blessed so much through our relationship with Jesus. We can be a blessing to other people. The first is this. Ask God to give you opportunities to join him. He's at work. Ask him to give you opportunities to join him in what he's doing in people's lives, to help you to see what it is. Have expectant eyes to be looking. What is it, Lord, that you're doing in people's lives? Why has this person come across my path today? Why have I bumped into them? What are you doing, Lord? How can I show some kindness? How can I be a blessing to this person and somehow join with you in what you're doing in their life. Secondly, follow those little nudges. A quiet little voice, a little idea that drops into our mind. That's all it is with me. It's the faintest little idea drops into my mind. And so many of them I miss. So many of them I miss up on. But sometimes I do get a sense and I follow through and something wonderful happens. So what are those little nudges? What is the Holy Spirit putting on your heart? Who is he putting on your heart? How can you follow up those little nudges and through them be a blessing to someone else? And thirdly, let one thing lead to another. Always be asking, what's the next step, Lord? What are you doing? How can I be involved in your mission of love to reach other people? How can I be involved in being a blessing to these people and see your amazing blessing being worked out in their lives? So often with God, one thing leads to another. It was true with this lame man. He's healed. The most amazing and wonderful act of kindness and blessing for that man. But it led to many, many more people coming into relationship with Jesus Christ that day. One thing led to another. I guess if I look back at that story of Julie, that little card with Psalm 23 on it, one thing led to another, to another. And now she's part of the church and sending me messages telling me about how wonderful God is and what he's doing through her into the lives of other people. So always be asking with your friends, okay, Lord, I want to be a blessing to them. What's the next step for them, Lord? What's the next part of the journey for them? How can I join with you in what you're already doing? As we finish, I'd love to pray for you. To pray that we all can be a blessing. We've received so much from God. Let's be a blessing to other people as well. Let that life that we've found flow out from us into the lives of other people too. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're amazing and knowing you is an amazing blessing. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that we've encountered you in our lives, that we have a relationship with you, and we're so grateful for that life that flows from heaven. Lord, at a time like this, with all this uncertainty, all this fear, Lord, we want to thank you that we have a rock solid and secure foundation in you. And Lord, we want to pray, would you help us to not keep this blessing to ourselves? To not keep this life that we found to ourselves, but for it to flow out and bless other people. So Lord, would you give us opportunities to join you in what you're doing in people's lives? Would you make our spiritual ears sensitive to those little nudges that come from you, Holy Spirit? And Lord, we want to pray that one thing would lead to another, that we would see one blessing leading to another in people's lives, and for them to ultimately receive the greatest blessing of all, of salvation and a relationship with you forevermore. Amen.